Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the International Dental Student Trend Podcast. I'm Aman, your host. Like we've discussed in the past, our goal is to offer valuable perspective and strategies to improve your application experience, whether you're just starting out or deeply engaged in process. Today, I have a co-host, Riddhi. Riddhi is a current applicant and a reapplicant to CAPID. We're in the middle of this application cycle. How are you feeling?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me and letting me share my experience. It feels good that I have submitted my applications. And now that, you know, the schools have started reviewing, it feels good to know that the applications are getting considered. But at the same time, I feel anxious and worried about the fact what is store in future. I'm hoping for the best. But while waiting, what do you think are the do's and don'ts that an applicant should follow while the application is submitted?
After we submit the application, there is some silence period before there is interview invite sent from school. Just from the school point of view, if you look at, they have a lot to do to review the applications, prepare for an interview or have bench exams. There's a lot going on their end. So you'd see the application process is lengthy. The do's and don'ts, I would say, in terms of reaching out to school, the don'ts are don't send them an update every month. If you have something significant that you want to add into your application, first review the CAPID website and the website for the school and see if they are open to receiving updates. And then wait to combine some of your updates. If you're doing certain things, feel like you're doing, wait for all of them to be done or start those things to send an update. Second, don't. If you're asking a question, you're reaching out to school, but that question is already answered on their website or again in their CAPID, please don't do that. Be courteous as well as respectful to their time as well as the questions that you're asking to them. So what I would say we can do while in this waiting period, if you are waiting and you are getting nervous, it would be nice if you could focus on something productive. What I mean is actually start preparing for bench exam and interview. Sometimes the schools send invites. Not everybody accepts invites, and you could get an invite even a few days before the interview. So not everybody gets months to prepare. You could get 10 days. So I want to call it like a 10-day rule. If you get nervous, think about if you get an invite today, will you be ready in 10 days? Focus your energy more on doing those things that will prepare you to be ready for the interview and bench exam. Let's ask you a question. I know you are preparing for bench exams or getting ready with things. How do you prepare?
So before I get into that, I just wanted to resonate to how you said, like, you know, focus your energies. And that is certainly helping me, because if I'm stressed, but I'm focusing my energy towards preparing for the bench or for the interview, it absolutely helps me kind of feel more confident and prepared. I have a home setup which comprises of compressor, handpiece, two kinds of diphodons. I did not get all three because these two diphodons for now are giving me the sense of how to practice. Every candidate can pick what they are comfortable. I also got some basic instruments. And that's how I have my home set up. I collected all this through various resources from online as well as students who were selling. They usually sell or donate their instruments. And that's how I collected my entire setup. And I have been practicing. It's really helping me. Do you have any thoughts on preparation?
You mean in terms of what to prepare?
Yes. Yeah.
I think if you are in the initial phase of getting ready to start the bench exam preparation, I would recommend to do the most common exercises. So as general dentist, there are a lot of things that we do every day, and that comprises like class two, amalgam, composite preparations, as well as restorations or full coverage restorations. So those are the aspects that I will start on for the bench exam preparation. So when you do these exercises, such as teeth preparations, how do you review or learn from them, Riddhi?
Reviewing and getting better with each preparation is key. I have a few ways I do it my prep. I actually attended a bench test prep course. Or that was important for me particularly because it kind of kept me focused, allowed me to revise and reflect on all the concepts that I had learned back in dental school. I was also able to seek guidance from mentors as well as various colleagues who were participating with me at the course to kind of build a network of students where we can practice together and help each other. Once I finished the course, when I practice at home, after I finish my each evaluation, I compare it with the guidelines of a prep. And I kind of self-evaluate my preps myself. This kind of helps me understand how I can improve for the next time. There are certain errors that are really critical and which we cannot continue to do. So I focus on improving the errors that can be minimized with each prep. Also, what I do is I have my group of mentors and guides who have been helping me reviewing my preps. So I send them pictures. Sometimes I have someone who is available to see it in person, and either always I do it so I get a review from an expert. That also helps me understand how to get better. The more I'm talking with the colleagues, mentors, the more I understand of different ways to do things and get efficient. So this is how I have been working on my preps and improving after every prep that I do.
You have a home setup, you practice and review your preps with mentors, or you have a set guidelines that you go through.
Yeah.
That's a good way of learning. You know, another way to practice if you don't have a home setup is sometimes if you shadow with a dentist, they might allow you to utilize time and space in their clinic. But it again depends on the relationship that you have with that dentist. For them to allow
I've heard a lot of applicants like myself think and wonder if everyone needs a bench test course. Like, what is your thought process on that?
I think when it comes to deciding whether you need a bench exam course or not, it depends on you. You are your biggest critique. So you know that what kind of hand skills you're coming in with. So if you feel like there are things that you could learn and you're not much clearer on some of the concepts, yes, consider a bench exam course. Those come with a financial investment. If you're comfortable with your teeth preparations, you understand the concepts and the criterias, and you feel like you don't need it, not everybody needs to go through a bench exam prep course. It all depends on you as a candidate and how much you're comfortable with things. Okay, so let's move to our second part of the discussion, which is how to prepare for an interview. Ridhi, let's ask you the same question as I asked for the bench exam. How do you prepare for interviews?
Yes. Well, interview, what I've come to realize is the most interesting and a fun part of the discussion is the shift of perspective towards it, looking at it very excitedly and passionately. I only say this because I've come to realize that at the end of the day, it is our story, our journey, our hard work that we are speaking with someone. And who better than us to express it? I do realize that's the toughest part too, because as individuals, a lot of times we are conditioned to be very modest, very subtle. And we sometimes also assume that our experiences are maybe, you know, something that is not good enough. So we always question ourselves. However, it is a 3-hour approach. By this I mean is, so you reflect, you remember, and you record. Now you reflect your entire journey, your career path, also bits of your personal journey, because both go hand in hand. And you kind of try to remember different parts of the story that really changed you as a person, that really changed the way you looked at dentistry, that really changed the way you empathize or show compassion towards patients. Once you have kind of brought these two concepts together of reflecting and remembering your story, you test these answers to convey the same point, but in a very structured and meaningful way where it leaves an impact. But at the same time, it is also when you are mindful of the fact that you are not going on and on and on. Because a lot of times we have our story in our mind and the ways we say it, we think that the other person is going to understand. But a lot of times it doesn't come across that way. So by hearing back my recordings, I was like, oh, this is not what I meant, but this is how it's coming across. So let me modify my approach of saying it. Doing these three things has helped me make my answers more compact and meaningful with my stories, because we also have to understand that the interviewers are here to know us as a person. They have already known how we are on paper. They have already appreciated that we come with a good work experience. But what to understand is how we are as people, how we are going to treat the patients. Because at the end of the day, once we graduate from their program, the name of the school is always going to be with us. And they want to make sure that we are compatible with the culture that the school holds. So it's a very important factor for them. And by making sure that we practice it in this manner, it will really help us. You to talk about the toolbox, which I remember you mentioned, or share some light on what you mean by that.
Oh, a toolbox. It's an interview technique that I learned. It's not my technique. But I am very sorry. I can't remember now who I learned this technique from. The toolbox technique comes from the fact that most of your answers should have an example. So when I say an example, it could be from your personal, your professional life. Sometimes during interviews, you can't think of an example. It's a question may have come across as a surprise to you. So that's where this technique comes handy. You write in a notebook examples that are meaningful to you. If a question comes in, you would like to address, share that experience or whatever you learned from that experience with the interviewers. So that's the toolbox comprises of samples you want to share. When I was preparing for interviews, I had like 10 examples on it. And it's very handy. Before interview, what I would do is review those 10 examples and then go to interview. When they would ask me questions, I would pick examples from my toolbox to share with them. So again, it's a technique to help you remember examples during the process. And also for recording, I just want to add into the recording one. I think one of the things I learned from recording is also some of the things that I do without realizing that I'm doing. Sometimes I touch my face a lot while I'm answering, or I'm nervous, or make certain kinds of expression that I realize are not something that I should be doing. So that's where also the recording comes in. When you see yourself doing this, you then make this note of like, maybe when I'm nervous, I am doing this as well. So I just have to be more cautious. I like the technique of recording your answers.
Yes, I think this is very well put. A lot of applicants like myself will benefit from these techniques and the toolbox that you mentioned. And, you know, the storytelling, because I just wanted to also share like a few webinars that I attended from some schools that hosted it. And they also spoke about the same thing. They're like, we want to know about you as individuals through your stories. Storytelling is something we all should understand. Again, these stories should be genuine, straight from heart, something that really touched, changed, or modified our approach of individuals, because with every experience and with every, you know, any life-changing event certainly changes us from what we were before. And sometimes it changes us for the good, sometimes to prepare for the bad. Is just able to share that in the right space, in the right way. That's all we should practice and share with interviewers.
Some of interview experiences where I felt really comfortable were the ones where I felt like I was having a conversation with them rather than, you know, an interview process, which was more like them asking questions and me just like saying things. It took me a little while to get to that point. Initially, you're so nervous, you don't see it that way. You see it more of like, I have to answer all those questions that they are asking. But once you are a little bit more comfortable, because you might have been through the process, or you might have been through the process with mentors or guides, you actually get more comfortable where you're like, okay, this is how I'm going to present this answer. This is how I do it well, and my answer comes across well. If you're sharing these experiences from your heart, some experience that have left a greater impact on you, the person interviewing you is also going to understand and maybe ask follow-up questions. That's when you have interaction. That's an interview that's going to leave an impact. That's what we're all achieving for. So this brings us to the end for today's episode. We did cover some of the preparations in terms of bench exam as well as interview. We, both Riddhi and I, understand this process is stressful. Applying to schools, waiting to hear back from them. But we all, as an applicant, you all are doing it together. Be kind and respectful to each other. If you have specific questions, follow us on Instagram page and leave us a comment over there. Looking forward to hearing back from you guys, and we will be back with another episode. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, everyone, for your time with this episode, and we look forward to your questions and feedback. Take care.